Today we're continuing our series called Let It Go. For those of you who weren't here, I am familiar. There's a Disney song by that name. I get it. I get the whole thing. However, it's still what we called it. So we're letting it go. We're going to let the Disney song go. How about that? That's a good place to start. Last week we talked about letting go of the small offenses that, weigh us down and bother us and kind of make us upset or angry or even bitter people. Today's going to be very different, kind of the same but much heavier. We're not dealing with small offenses today. We're going to deal with heavy things. We're going to deal with big things. And so today's going to be, challenging, maybe even painful for some of us. But I just want to say that to you going in. This is the heaviest of the messages in this series, but I also believe it's going to be the most healing. And so we're going to take this journey together today. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, one of the things that he taught them is that in their journey, they would be hurt, they would be disappointed, and they may even be betrayed. So in Luke chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come." One translation says, inevitable. It's inevitable that they're going to come. Another translation says, it's impossible that offenses are not going to happen. So it doesn't matter like how big a wall you put around your life. It doesn't matter how careful you are. It doesn't matter how you live. Jesus said it's impossible to live in a way that you'll never be offended or you'll never be hurt or you're, because we live in a broken world with broken people and it's impossible to not get hurt. And we all stumble and we all fall and people hurt us and they disappoint us and maybe even betray us. So in verse 3, Jesus said, so watch yourself. Like, pay attention, be alert. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. In other words, he's saying, don't just pretend like it didn't happen. Don't just, live in denial. Talk to them. Try to make it right. Unity is the goal. We're trying to work toward reconciliation and trying to find healing. And then Jesus says one of the most challenging things, I think, in the entire Bible. In verse 4, he says, even if they sin against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you might, you could, maybe, what does it say? You must forgive them. Now, the disciples may have been thinking the same thing that you may be thinking. In the same day? I mean, I'll give them one, two stretching it. I might give them 3 if I'm in a good mood, if it's the right day. 7? No. It feels ridiculous, doesn't it? It feels impossible. And so the disciples process this, and then the only way they know how to respond, because it's Jesus saying it, is in verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, we don't have what it takes to do this. Like, we're not mature enough. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough. We're not compassionate enough. We're not godly. We're missing, we're lacking something that it's going to take to get from where we are to do what you told us that we might do, that we must do. So they say, increase our faith. Now, I just want to highlight that because I want us to walk away with this thought today. Forgiveness takes faith. Like, you're not going to get there cognitively. You're not going to logic your way into it. You're not going to get there with enough determination. Forgiveness takes faith. It takes a lot of faith. And so let me ask you some harder questions this morning. Who hurt you? Who lied to you? Who lied about you and then maybe turned around and lied to you? Who betrayed you? Last week was small offenses, not today. These are the deeply painful, oftentimes repeated and repetitive things. Who betrayed you? Was it maybe a roommate that to your face was one person and behind your back was a different one? Was it a business partner who gave you their word that they would do something and then they not only did they not do that, they became completely undependable and you were counting on them and it just ruined the relationship. Maybe it was someone in school who bullied you. Maybe it was a boyfriend or a girlfriend who lied to you, broke your trust. Maybe it was parents. Maybe your parents somehow just didn't end up being the people that you hoped they would be. Maybe it was a parent who you could never please. No matter what you did, it wasn't enough, and they just hurt you over and over and over. Maybe it was a parent that was self-centered, and they really never loved you the way or cared for you the way that a parent should. And it leaves a deep wound in our life. Maybe it was a spouse that you trusted and you became vulnerable with, and then they betrayed you. And they broke your trust and they broke that vulnerability that you gave them. Maybe it was an authority figure that you admired and you put a lot of confidence in. And then they took advantage of you somehow. And even maybe made you feel like it was your fault. The questions that we have when we get to the deep things like this. Do we really need to forgive these things? Like, isn't there a line of wrong? Isn't there a line of pain? And isn't there a line of violation that once it's crossed, it's so bad and it's so destructive and it's so harmful and it does so much pain that once that line is crossed, it doesn't need to be forgiven? That makes sense when we say it. It makes sense when we feel it. And look, I understand some of these things, okay? I'll just be vulnerable with you today. When I was a kid, a younger person, I found out that my mother had been abused by her father, my grandfather. He had violated her. And I wasn't even a believer at that point in my life, but it changed my view of him. And it hurt me, and I didn't have the faith, I didn't have the spirituality, I didn't have the maturity to know what to do with it, but it changed the way that I've looked at him. I never looked at him the same way again. And not too long after that, he died. And so the whole thing just sort of unraveled in a painful mess, and there was really no way to reconcile or to figure that out. The day that my youngest son was born, he was, on time in delivery. He was born at 4 p.m. late one afternoon. It's 7 o'clock that night. I was supposed to be voted on at our church to be the next pastor of the church. And I had already been on staff and in relationship with those people for 15 months. And so at 4 o'clock, I went to see my baby be born. At 7 o'clock, I went to the church building for the meeting. And found out later that there were two board members that stood in the foyer that got there early and did everything they could do to influence as many people as they could to vote against me. And even lied about how the process worked so that it would make it feel softer than it really was. That hurt. Like, I think sometimes people forget that pastors are people. And that hurt. On one hand, I'm celebrating the birth of my son. On the other hand, I'm having to figure out how do you even deal with that? Then one more. There was a friend in my life who had just committed to me, man, no matter what happens, you know, I'm always going to walk with you and be with you. And when life got, when my own personal crisis got to their worst, they withdrew as far from me as they could get. And I couldn't find them. And it hurt. So I share those stories with you to say, hey, and I've got more. You know, we don't have time, right? But I share those stories to share with you. I don't know your pain, but I do know pain. I don't know what you've been through, but I've been through some things. And so I'm not talking to you today as like a teacher or an expert. I'm talking to you as like a fellow member on the same journey you're on, who's felt some of the things that you felt. And so these are deeply personal things. What do you do? How do you let go of these things? Have you ever been vacuuming and, you know, there's this little wad of lint that the vacuum won't seem to pick up? You kind of run it over it and it won't pick it up. And so you come from this way and you run it over it and won't pick it up. You know, and so you flip it on a different setting. You know, crank the engine up. Then you grind it in the ground and try to, you know, pull it up. And you pick it up and kind of pop it on it. And then you pick the lint up and you look at it, then you put it back down, try to run it over again. You know what I'm saying? It's like no matter what angle you come from, it won't come up. Isn't that the way forgiveness feels sometimes? Like no matter what angle you come from, you've tried, you've worked on it, you've, you know, thought about it, and no matter what angle you hit it from, you just can't seem to get over it. You just can't seem to let it go. You just can't seem to heal. I know it's a painful topic, but look, God tells us we must forgive. Now, first, before we get into that, what does that mean? Well, I find sometimes it's easier to understand what something is by understanding what it's not. So let me give you three quick things that forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not forgetting. It doesn't mean that you'll automatically just go blank and forget that anything ever happened. And it's not pretending it didn't happen, because that's denial. It's not agreeing that what happened was right. It's not agreeing that what the person said or did was appropriate or even right. It doesn't mean that you become a doormat the rest of your life. It doesn't mean you just have to smile and take it for the glory of God. Forgetting and forgiveness are not the same thing. Forgiveness is also not trusting. So forgiveness is given, trust is earned. So you may have to build some boundaries in your life where trust has been broken so that you can have a relationship. Not putting those boundaries either opens you up to maybe the same hurts over and over and over again, or it creates a pretend or a fakeness or denial and a separation, and the relationship has no space to grow. But you can forgive and still create healthy boundaries, and sometimes you just have to say, look, this hurt, and we need some space to rebuild our relationship, to rebuild this friendship, to rebuild whatever it is, because I lost trust. And trust needs to be rebuilt and grown over time. Forgiveness is also not fair. Look, if you hurt me, it causes pain, and it costs me time, and it costs me emotional energy, and it costs me maybe sleeplessness, and it causes me frustration, and it causes these emotions and worry and anger. And look, if you make somebody pay that price because you hurt them, fairness says, then they get to do something equivalent back to you, right? Isn't that kind of what we all want when we hurt? Isn't that sort of our default setting? Forgiveness isn't fair. Somebody has to pay for this. What's fair is to pay them back. What's fair is to do something to them and keep doing it until they feel exactly what you felt, so they'll know how you felt so they won't do it again. You don't have to agree. I know you agree. Isn't that how we feel? That's how we feel when we're hurt. But Jesus said, pray for our enemies. Oh, pray for enemies. Great. I'll pray that they get hemorrhoids on their nose. That's what I'll do. I'll pray for my enemies, right? I don't even think that's medically possible. But I'm just saying, that's how we feel. But here's the thing. We like when God's not fair to us, because God is most often not fair to us to our benefit. He's most often not fair to us to our benefit. If God were fair, you and I would get what our sins deserve. And what our sins deserve is punishment. And what our sins deserve is payment for what we did. And what our sins deserve is eternal separation from God. But thank God, Psalm 103:10 says, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Thank God, He's not always fair. Forgiveness is not always fair. So what is forgiveness? We're going to take our definition from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 this morning. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So let's pull our definition right from the Bible. What does it mean to forgive? Here's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is giving to others what God gave to you. Forgiveness is giving to others what God gave to you. It's offering the same grace that God offered to you. And look, if you've been following Jesus for a while, how many of you have been forgiven for anything? Just me. How many of you have been forgiven for anything? Right? Look, I know some of you are perfect and it doesn't apply to you, right? Like you've never sinned and you're perfect and you got your little church face on. And matter of fact, you're so good you probably don't even need church. But I got news for you. The church isn't for people like that. The church is for people who need grace. The church is for people who've done some stuff wrong and messed up and need to be redeemed. That's who the church is for. So now, how many of you have been forgiven? That's right. Because we've done things that are wrong. And I've been forgiven of so many dark and broken things. What place do I have to stand on when somebody else needs grace? Because I've already received so much. Until you understand the terrible and deeply sinful things that you've done, it's going to be impossible for you to ever forgive anybody else. Now look, before you kind of get the wrong mindset, look, well, look, I've lived a pretty good life. I've kind of been honest. I've treated people right. Don't think about behavior. Think about heart. What has been in your heart? The greater sins aren't always the ones that you can see. The greater sins are the ones that live deep in the resources of the heart and the mind. Envy and lust and hatred and bitterness and rage. Jealousy. You and I have been forgiven from some awful, awful things. And until we understand that, it's going to be impossible to forgive. See, the Christian life is not just about receiving forgiveness. It's about giving it. It's not just about receiving it. It's about giving it. It's not just about forgiveness flowing to us. It's about forgiveness flowing through us and out of us. So, how's forgiveness flowing in your life? Is it just flowing to you or is it flowing through you? There's a great event that happened in Scripture. Jesus' disciples came to Him and asked them, will you teach us how to pray? And this is a courageous prayer. If you really want to know how to pray, let's read a little bit of this in Luke chapter 11. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins. Come on and say it. Against us. Against us. Do you really want to pray that prayer? Don't just forgive me, God. I want You to forgive me exactly the same way that I forgave the person that hurt me most. I want You to forgive me exactly the same way I forgave them. I mean specifically. I want You to do it exactly like that. Man, that's sort of a chilling prayer, isn't it? That's a no, we want God to be God. No, we don't want God to forgive us the way we forgive. We want God to forgive how God forgives, right? We want grace. But following Jesus, you've been forgiven of some things that you didn't deserve to be forgiven of, and I have too. And you and I have received some grace we didn't deserve. And until we understand that, we won't be free. And so if you're going to pray that prayer, you've got to think about, what about the boss that you hate? Or the ex-spouse that has caused so much chaos? Is forgiveness flowing through you, or is it just flowing to you? Now, here's a good question. Why does God demand so strongly, with no compromise, why does he demand that we forgive these painful and unfair things? Listen, this is the revelation of the day. Because he loves you so much. And the only path to freedom is forgiveness. And the only path to healing is forgiveness. And the only path to joy is forgiveness. He loves you so much, he requires that you forgive, not because it's going to heal them, because let's be honest, most of the time, it doesn't do anything for them. But let me tell you what it does. It does so much for you, and it does so much for me. It literally sets us free. So forgiving the person who wounded you and lied about you and cheated and betrayed, it's probably not going to free them at all. But let me give you this beautiful little quote that I hope you never forget from a great little book by Lewis Smedes called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Wounds We Don't Deserve. He said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. By not forgiving, you're not hurting that person at all, and you're not paying them back, and nothing's happened in their life. But by not forgiving, you are keeping the prison door of your life locked. And you are stuck inside. But when you forgive, you open the door. You open the door and you begin to be free. Forgiveness isn't about them, it's about you. It's not about what happens to them. You're a prisoner. You're suffering. You're carrying weight. And God loves you and he wants you to be free. Because look, letting go is what happens, is what frees you. Now look, just because letting go frees you, I don't want any part of you to hear any part of me say that it's easy. It is not easy. There's no part of it that's easy. It is excruciating. It is stomach-twisting sometimes. It's easier to live in bitterness. It's easier to want revenge. It's easier to wish that something bad would happen to them so that they could feel what you felt. It's easier to stand up and cheer when pain comes in their life and go, I knew one day they would get what's coming to them. That's easier. But it's not better. It's hard. It's hard to forgive. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's worth it. Because it sets you free, and it's the only path to freedom. How does it happen? Okay, back to Luke 17. Here's how it happens. Forgiveness takes faith. You're not going to be able to forgive without taking a step of faith. You're not going to be able to make progress in this way without faith. To face all of the horrible things that have happened to you requires you and I to stand with the disciples and say, increase my faith. God, I need more faith. But here's what faith does. Faith allows you to see an opportunity where other people only see pain. Faith allows you to see an opportunity and allows you to see a prison door swing open where other people only see a caged and limited and a bound life. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to feel it, because oftentimes when you take a step of faith, you don't feel it. You may still feel betrayed. You may still feel hurt. You may still feel angry. You may still feel upset. But oftentimes feelings follow faith when we take a step of faith. They're just slower to catch up. And so to take that step of faith, you might actually have to take it in a void of emotion, in a vacuum. You might have to actually swim upstream in resistance to everything your emotions are telling you. That's faith. That's hard. That's difficult faith. But you choose the faith to let them go. I also want to say this. Sometimes when you're talking about the deepest pains in life, it oftentimes, forgiveness doesn't oftentimes occur in one moment. It doesn't oftentimes, it's a process. And so sometimes that journey requires multiple steps of faith because there's such deep pain and the wounds are so deep that you can't just let it go in a moment. Sometimes there's physical or mental or emotional abuse or all of those, and sometimes you have painful memories that are attached to trauma and all kinds of things. And so you can't just say, today I decide to let it go and it's gone and it'll never come back. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't think about this wound in your life is either I have let it go or I have not let it go. I want you to consider a third option. I'm letting it go. Would you say that with me? I'm letting it go. That's healing. Let's say it again. I'm letting it go. Yeah. See, how does that feel when you say it? I'm not there yet. But I'm not stuck yet either. You know, I got one door out of the prison cell and the door's open and I'm not out, but I'm coming out. I'm not done, but I'm moving the right direction. I'm letting it go. So this morning I've given you two very powerful tools to overcome the deep wounds and betrayals in your life. One of them is a confession. And it just simply says this: by faith, I'm letting it go. The confession is, by faith, I'm letting it go. And then there's a very powerful prayer that I've given you today. And that is the same prayer the disciples prayed: increase my faith. So by faith, I'm letting it go. And your prayer is, increase my faith. It takes faith to believe that on the other side of this difficult journey, on the other side of this pain, that God has something better for us. But you know what I've oftentimes found? To get through something really bad, to solve a really complicated problem, it usually requires that we walk through something difficult first. But if you walk through it in faith saying, man, it feels like it's getting worse in some ways, it's getting harder. But you say by faith, I believe on the other side of this, God has something better for me. By faith, I believe on the other side of this, God has something better for me. And see, God's not asking you, here's the thing we get confused on. He's not asking you, how much forgiveness do they deserve? He's asking you, how much freedom do you want? It's a different question. It's not how much forgiveness do they deserve, it's how much freedom do you want? Say it with me again. I'm letting it go. Come on, I'm letting it go. Man, let faith rise. It takes faith to do that. After what a person did, you're saying to them, you're no longer holding on to me. I let go of the betrayal. I let go of the pain. I let go of the fact you took advantage of me. I let go of the misuse of power. I let go of what you said about me. I let go of what you said to me. It may not be fair. It may have gone on for years, but I'm not going to let it hold me back because I'm not a victim and I'm not a prisoner. I'm not a victim and I'm not a prisoner. And I'm going to walk out of this thing and I'm going to walk into forgiveness is emptying yourself of the emotions, the negative emotions that were caused by the pain. It's releasing the anger. It's releasing the fear. It's releasing the worry. It's letting those things go. It's like, I'm not going to hold on to these negative emotions anymore because I'm letting them go. I may remember what happened, and you probably will, but I don't feel the pain of what happened anymore because I've let it go, or I'm letting it go. Forgiveness doesn't change your past, and forgiveness will never take away what happened. But let me tell you what forgiveness does. It changes you, and it changes your future. Forgiveness can't change what happened, but it can redeem the present, and it can redeem the future and give you a new, free and liberated way to walk. So today, I hope that we can all come together and say, I'm letting it go. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you just say that with me one more time? I'm letting it go. Lord, today I pray that you would do what I cannot do, what none of us can do on our own. It takes the truth of your word. It takes the presence of Jesus. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit, and it takes faith. And God, I'm asking you to minister freedom today. I'm asking you that some prison doors are going to swing open today, and some steps of faith are going to be taken to move us into the people that you've called us to be. As our worship team leads us in this song, I want to ask you to do two things. Just, would you just ask the Holy Spirit to bring into your mind, maybe it's been in the forefront of your mind the whole service and it's not even necessary, but bring into your mind, Lord, show me and remind me the people who hurt me. Because I want to let them go, and I want to let this go. And I want to be free today and forgiven. I want to experience the flow of forgiveness through my life. And then ask him, Lord, help me today to let it go. Our worship team's here.